Good morning, everybody. This is Annie and a full house. I can't believe it. I used to do this program by myself for several years, but the program is now flooded with the fantastic connections of all these people who are in the studio this morning. G'day, Tobias.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What about you, Hanila?
I'm pretty good. Happy to be here, even if I did almost lose, I think, a few fingers getting here. It is so incredibly cold.
I know. Lose my mind. It's yes. So cold. And Matt. G'day, Matt.
Yeah, it's great to be amongst everyone in the studio and the listeners in the audience.
That's exactly right.
I would like to do the weather report this week, if that's okay.
Go for it.
It was so cold that when I got to my bus stop today, the glass of the bus shelter or Perspex or whatever it is, to anyone fact-checking in the audience, was completely frosted over to the point where I had to get a leaf off a tree and manually scrape all of the ice off of the panels so that I would be able to see my bus. And that is just not a normal occurrence.
No, it isn't. And of course, all those gardeners out there, let's hope you took the frost warning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what I'm really trying to say is I hope all of the audience out there feels deep pity for us having to get up in the middle of a very cold
winter. Oh, you're just
winter.
A sook. You're
yes,
just a
exactly.
Sook.
Well, and I hope everyone's in their nice warm houses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listening to us on the radio.
And there could be some homeless people who are listening in.
Who have found a nice warm spot for the night, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. We've got a lot of stuff going on around AI. It's really fascinating because Albo has finally come up with apparently a legislation that's supposed to curtail control AI.
Yeah, I think it was a speech on Wednesday Albo gave. Look, I just went through it fairly quickly during the week. But essentially, within his own department, the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, he has set up an AI department within the PM.
What is that, a closet with a chair and a table?
I think so, yeah. So it's just interesting that AI kind of just sprung out of nowhere, other than we have data centers. That's true. But it seems like it's the growth of data centers has just sprung out of nowhere, and AI has been foisted on us.
I would actually say, Matthew.
Yeah,
I don't think it's come out of nowhere. I think there's been some scaffolding, scaffolding going on for the last couple of years.
So there's been
some documentation and policy guidelines that were released in particular last year, where the government actually laid out all of their kind of policy goals around AI, and they were very explicit about the fact that their main priority is attracting investment in AI. And obviously, in very kind of voter-friendly terms, couching this desire for investment alongside an interest in preserving, you know, the rights of workers, and probably a sentence-long reference to the environment and things like that. But the bottom line has been that they are very, very interested in attracting international investment. And that's been the bottom line for at least a year now.
Oh,
but
well,
I think
it's been for longer than that, but
go
on.
The policy that you're talking about, Matthew, that they've been emphasizing this week, I think is a slight repackaging of something that they've had in the works for a long time now.
Because everything is at that level is actually manipulated as a political foxtrot. This, as GetUp says, new rules or a green light, and this is what GetUp says, and this is it says, after more than 1,800 GetUp members demanded the government introduce binding national rules to rein in the data centre boom, today the Prime Minister stood up and promised rules that are clear, consistent and mandatory, as if, you know, we've got it all under control. There's nothing to worry about. Don't scare the horses. But then we read the fine print. The Labor's new rules don't set a minimum share of renewable energy new data centres have to use or explicitly prohibit new gas. They don't limit the amount amount of water they can take, even as Sydney households face restrictions in the next drought, and they don't guarantee Australians a cent of the profits. In other words, the Prime Minister has given Big Tech a green light dressed up as AI in Australia's interest. The proposed laws go to National Cabinet next month, so now is a chance, they say, for people to actually put forward. Here's what we're up against. There are already 162 data centres operating in Australia, with another 90 in the pipeline. The proposed Murray Road data centre in Western Sydney alone would be one of the biggest in the world. One company has plans to build enough data centres to lift Australia's entire electricity demand by around 60%, while another wants to build one of Australia's largest gas plants to power just one data centre site. The rules Labor set out today don't stop even more companies doing the same thing. And this is at the same time as the Liberal Party is peddling the notion of nuclear power.
I also think it's worth pointing out that there's already been a massive amount of investment from companies like Microsoft and Nvidia. So the bill's already been paid. So I think there's probably, I mean, not to discourage people from making a fuss about it and signing petitions and having their say, but I think that Matthew, I think, is right to point out that I think that there's been actually very minimal public consultation in the process of deciding that it's going to be a really central part of complexifying Australia's economy moving forward. Because diversification in the Australian economy has been a really big issue for a long time now. Like, we have a very unsophisticated economy for such a wealthy country. And I think that the government has rightfully tried to address that problem, but AI and developing technology around AI has become a really central part of that economic pivot. And I think that's something that makes sense because of the global context of what's going on. But as you've just explained, Annie, is going to have massive environmental and social impacts that really haven't been discussed openly with the public.
One thing about Albo's speech, did he talk about workers having some kind of control or say?
My main takeaway was him repeating the phrase, "We're doing it the Australian way," over and over again. But yeah, there was reference to needing to preserve the interests and rights of workers. And I think that that hasn't really been reflected in any of the policy that I've seen in terms of having a real structured approach to, for instance, including unions in the process of figuring out how AI is going to be implemented into workplaces and things like that.
Well, you see, ACT...
So I'm not sure what that means
in
practice.
The ACT was right behind the Labor government. As soon as the Labor government put out his statement, the ACTU put out a press release saying, rah, 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 rah. So obviously they're in line with the overall message. However, they have been doing stuff around the financial unions, and NTU are also in the thick of the issues that are related to the AI. But you found some information about a critique by Greg Jericho from the Australia Institute.
Yeah, Greg Jericho, I think he's there at the Australia Institute. He's the head of economic policy, and he put out an article on Deep Cut, and he pretty much went through line by line, kind of like Albo's speech on Wednesday. And he actually referred to some analysis by the head of the Productivity Commission, Danielle Wood, and pretty much set out that, you know, what the claims she was making about benefits in terms of productivity were just not there. Yeah.
I think on a different program for 3CR, it's not Radiothon anymore, but still doing some spruiking about the benefits of supporting 3CR. There's a lovely range of programs that you can tune into, including Stick Together. And on a previous Stick Together program, I had a chat with someone from the Maritime Union of Australia, and they were saying very similar things, that there's actually very, and this has been supported by, it's been supported by Harvard, if you need a big brand name on your research to believe it, but
Harvard, isn't their whole model based on the case study type approach?
I wouldn't know. But basically, they've supported the point you're making, which is that there's been pretty minimal evidence that introducing AI into workplaces actually has positive impacts for productivity. And it has a really negative impact for instance, workers' ability to be paid properly.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you should say that because this is another side issue. At the same time, and I think this is one of the reasons for why this legislation or these ideas have been put into practice at the moment to make people feel like everything's under control, even though these data centres have been being built outside Melbourne since the beginning of the year. If you'd been following the plumbers are all, you know, happening with the stuff that's going on the outskirts of Melbourne.
Another great reason to listen to 3CR
and all
its programs.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is that they just thought that they could sneak it all in without anybody making a fuss because this is affecting the outer suburban people in exactly the same way as the outer suburban people are affected by the incinerators or what they like to call waste to energy. You know, they've got all these great slogans, but really it's poisoning the air of the people who live right next door. And it's exactly the same as the stuff as with the data centres. And they thought they could just get this to happen without anybody noticing. But of course, the stuff that's been happening in America with the data centres we live in a global world now. People know what's happening to people in other places where they're being strong-armed by the oligarchs. And it's not just it's the oligarchs right across the world. And Australia obviously is open for business in the same way as Tony Abbott would have us believe, you know, lying back there with, you know, completely open to whatever happens. This business is about the Australian way. What are you talking about? I mean, what is it? The Australian way is come and steal the land and kill everybody who's here? Is that the Australian way?
And exploit resources that we are lucky enough to have
I mean, I was
plentiful amounts of without actually being responsible at all about managing these resources.
I mean, I remember in 1975 hearing an ABC program talking about how Australia was a great big hole in the ground. That's what Australia represented. Has anything changed?
Well, friend of the show, Maluma May, we had a excerpt of her speech that she delivered as part of a PhilEF event earlier in the year. We played it on last week's show of PhilEF. And she talks about Japanese gas giant INPEX and how in the heart of the city of Darwin, they've had a gas leak
been going on for
decades, and it's affecting birth rates and child health and just general community health. And this is the company that sponsors the only university that's in Darwin. This is the company that gets all the subsidies to export the gas and then resell it to the Australian market. This is what it is. Even reading the Deep Cut article that you were saying, Matthew, there's a data center lobby group called Data Centers Australia. So every kind of company is represented by a massive lobby group that influences the government.
And that extent of lobbying really puts the question, are we really living in a representative democracy where vested interests, but just through money, get access to decision makers?
And you've got legislation that's just settling the horses. Oh, no, don't worry. Everything's under control. We're in suits. We speak in calm language. We're not emotional. In fact, a perfect example of this is that something that the Victorian Forest Alliance alerted people to. The Victorian government is moving to prioritise fishing and shooting over environmental protection. This is an explainer put out by the Victorian Forest Alliance.
Labor is trying to introduce a new super agency that governs the use of public land in Victoria. The reason this is a huge worry is that this body will prioritise and incentivise shooting and fishing over all the other activities that we enjoy in nature and over nature protection itself. The name of the super agency has been changed from Outdoor Recreation Victoria to Fishing, Hunting and Outdoor Victoria. That itself is pretty revealing. The proposed bill includes a land access panel. This will be chaired with people that the minister picks. It won't be disclosed who they are, and the advice and recommendations that they provide to the government also will be kept a secret. The Greens and Animal Justice Party have tried to get amendments to the bill so that this advisory panel includes traditional owners and expert ecologists. They've also tried to get amendments to strengthen conflict of interest rules, transparency, and also make sure that the agency is required to protect habitat and consider the impacts of activities on the well-being of wildlife. The Shadow Minister for Environment, Nick McGowan, has also been scathingly critical of this bill on similar grounds. Anyway, the government has rejected these amendments, but they have supported amendments from the National Party to remove the requirement of the board to include ecologists and wildlife biologists, but instead add hunting and fishing representatives. The shooting lobby is pretty thrilled about all this. Labor expected the bill to pass on June 18, but the debate went so long and there were amendments, so it has had to go back to the lower house. This will happen later this month or in early August, which does give us a little bit of time to make sure that our representatives know how we feel about this corrupt fuckery. Animal Justice Australia has a handy online action that you can use to contact decision makers, or if you prefer, you can just email or call your own MP to tell them that you expect new legislation to prioritise nature protection and transparent decision making over the interests of the hunting and fishing lobbies.
Well, I think that says it all. And before we move on, we'll have to mention that there's been a fair amount of outrage at the violence, obvious, clear deaths of at least four people last week.
Two women and two girls.
I was going to say like 13-year-olds being murdered. Business goes on as usual, because the push has been to show that there is you could call it a rape culture, effectively, and that you can have a phony royal commission financed by the Fed, public money, into anti-Semitism. Not that anti-Semitism isn't an issue, but it's one of the many issues in racism that pollutes our society.
And there's already on the books a very comprehensive anti-racism framework, which hasn't been adopted.
Exactly.
But also on that similar note, we've seen that there's a national inquiry into the racism that's faced by First Nations people that's concurrently happening as the Royal Commission into Anti-Semitism and Social Cohesion's carrying on, and it's received almost next to no
promotion.
Information or reporting or journalism or articles or anything like that, especially since it had as one of its central themes the daily threats and intimidation that First Nations people are reporting they have in their communities, especially as the Northern Territory government refused to front up to the commission. Didn't turn up.
Yeah, disgraceful.
But I think we need to have our moment of addressing what's been going on this week in terms of violence against women. So two women and two girls have been killed this week as a result of gendered violence. And I think it's becoming pretty clear that this is part of a much broader pattern that's been going on for a very long time. I think, to the point you were making, Annie, this is a structural issue. It's not something that is going to be fixed by throwing money at it. We need to throw money at it, but we also need to have like a deep cultural change in our country about how men and women interact with each other and how men treat women. I think that to frame this conversation, one woman a week is killed on average every 9 days as a result of intimate partner violence. And this is happening at the same time that the Queensland government has just cut tens of millions of dollars in funding and resources from its domestic violence response policy. There's clearly a very far way to come. And I think the least we can do is keep these women in our thoughts this week. And girls, they're not women, these children and these girl children and women in our thoughts.